When we arrive at the club, my first task is my second least favorite one of the night. I go into the women's dressing room to remove all my clothes. Even though I will spend the entire evening naked, this moment where I first become naked is when I feel the most exposed. I'm not in subspace. I'm not collared. I'm just a naked woman with nothing between me and my insecurities. When I come out of the dressing room, you are waiting for me. You hand me my wrist and ankle cuffs, and I buckle them on tightly. The leather always loosens slightly throughout the night, so I've learned to buckle them tightly initially. The pressure from them is comforting, and I relax into it ever so slightly. I then come to stand before you with my head bowed, and you collar me. The collar has a ring at the front for attaching my leash and a dog tag with my name. I close my eyes and feel my insecurities diminish, not because they're no longer there, but because they no longer matter. What I think of myself when I'm collared is irrelevant. The only thing that matters is you. You turn and enter the club, and I follow you closely. You see some friends in conversation and sit to join them. You gesture toward the floor, but there is no need. I know where to go. I sit on the floor at your side, my legs folded under me, my head leaning against your thigh. You are chatting with our friends about mundane matters or recent toy purchases or sharing news. You absentmindedly stroke my hair, and I feel warm and content. Usually full of thoughts about home and work, my mind empties. I'm silent, listening only for an indication that you want to include me in the conversation, which is rare. You send me to get you a drink, and I stand and make my way to the kitchen. I don't like walking around the club without you. As I'm collared, most people know not to talk to me or touch me. However, there are sometimes people who don't realize or choose to ignore such things, and having to negotiate those situations politely is challenging. But I am often the only naked person there, and even those who are respectful are still looking. I'm not an exhibitionist, like a child or a dumb animal who thinks if they can't see something, it doesn't exist. I lower my eyes as I walk so I don't see them, and somehow that makes it possible for me to walk naked through a crowd of strangers to fetch your drink. I make my way back and sit down at your side. However, my feeling of relaxed contentment is gone. You realize this, of course, which is why you sent me for the drink in the first place. I am discomfited, and I think you like me that way. After you finish your drink, you tell me to take the toys to the location in the club you've selected for our scene. Sometimes this is a peripheral area or corner, but more often it is the large open space in the center of the club. I know I'm going to get a beating when you choose the center of the club. You choose it so you will have enough room to swing. I am highly aware of being in the center of the club, completely naked, except for my collar and cuffs, as I begin the routine of setting up the toys for you. To ease my embarrassment, I focus intently on this task. I have no other thoughts except trying to anticipate your needs. I think you must hate fumbling around in the bag during a scene. I try to anticipate what sorts of things you will want available, depending on the location. Today I leave small items like clamps, needles, and gags in the bag, since this is not the location for such intimate play. I lay out all the toys in a way that seems logical to me, handles facing you, neatly arranged. I have no idea what, if any, of these items you will use, but touching them all and anticipating their use creates butterflies in my stomach. You watch this whole routine from your seat, laughing at my dedication to a task you actually don't give a shit about, and in fact find quite pointless. But you let me finish, and then approach. As you approach, you find me shaking slightly, especially my hands. You laugh at my nerves and beckon me toward the leaning wooden post structure in the middle of the room. It has wooden cross ties studded with rings to which you can attach clips or slip rope. I stand in front of you, bowing my head. To my embarrassment, I can see people gathering around the play area and try desperately to pretend they aren't there. You gesture toward the pillar, and I position myself facing it. And then mercifully, you blindfold me. I sink into blackness, and immediately all my other senses are heightened. I feel the chill of being in the open space and the feeling of the wood against my breasts. You do not bind me to the structure. You want me to stay there under my own will, holding on instead of being bound, letting you beat me without anything stopping me from walking away, except my desire to please you. Without being so bold as to actually turn my head, I tilt it slightly in different directions, like a dog, to try to hear where you are and what you're doing. I try to figure out what toy you're choosing so I can brace myself, but I can't figure it out. Then there's a moment of silence. Suddenly, I have no idea where you are, and I get a little scared. What if you left? What if you traded places with someone else? What if I've completely misjudged the situation and something totally different is in store? These thoughts are interrupted by a zinging sound. It lasts less than a second, just long enough for me to realize before the strike that it is one of the toys that is most difficult for me. The cane strikes my ass, and I feel a sharp, searing pain that momentarily brings tears to my eyes. There is no way for my body to swallow this pain. It is too sharp and too focused. I don't have any more time to think about it before hearing it again as you lay another stripe alongside the first. There's no counting, no ritual. You just lay into my ass with the cane over and over again. I grip the wood tightly with my hands. You concentrate on the curve of my ass where it meets my thigh. This area is particularly sensitive, and I clench my teeth. You strike harder and harder. The stripes now overlay each other, crisscrossing all over my ass. It's on fire. At one point, you approach me and run a finger along a particularly vicious stripe. I'm not sure, but I think you're wiping away a stripe of blood. Small amounts of blood are not forbidden at this club, but significant bleeding will cause someone to stop the scene. So I think maybe you are assessing the situation. Satisfied that I'm not bleeding enough to cause any consternation among the dungeon monitors, you continue with several more vicious stripes, and then it stops. My head is bowed, my breathing is hard and fast. My hands relax their grip. The cane touches my lips for me to kiss. is the only toy you make me kiss. And only because I hate the damn thing so much. You go on beating me for a long time. Time has lost its meaning. You flog my back and ass until every inch of it is on fire. The impact of the flogger is so heavy it would knock me over, but instead it just knocks me against the wooden posts as the tails slam against my skin over and over again. You hit me as hard as you can with the flogger until your arm tires. I am panting through an open mouth. The flogging stops. I gather myself, trying to slow my breathing and reposition myself, and then I hear you right next to me, whispering in my ear. "Good girl," you say. And then you reach one hand around and put it over my mouth. And with the other, you start at the nape of my neck and rake your fingernails down my back as I scream into your hand. My skin parts where your nails leave bloody trails. You laugh a little, release my mouth, and push me back against the post. I'm not quite done yet, girl. I am shaking now, sweat stinging the scratches on my back and the stripes on my ass. And then I hear it. If you have never seen or heard a sjambok, it is a traditional South African weapon, traditionally made of rhinoceros hide, but when mass-produced by the police for riot control purposes, of dense rubber, as this one was. It is heavy, and it makes a distinctive warbling noise as it is shaken in the air. I know this noise. I know this toy. We have not used it often, as once it is used, the scene ends. My legs begin to shake, and I grab tightly to the wood. I hear you laughing. When the sjambok strikes, my world explodes. My lungs empty of air. I cannot make a sound. I'm frozen in time, stilled by the pain. I am barely able to support my weight. I'm hanging on the wooden cross ties. The pain is not fast and sharp like the cane. It's not diffuse like the flogger. It is enduring. It travels through me at a slow pace, not dissipating for, I have no idea how long. But when it does finally dissipate enough for me to regain awareness, I take a deep breath and I push myself back on my feet so I'm standing again. And then I gather myself and I lift my arms back up to grip the cross piece again. This is your signal that I am ready to be struck again, and you take advantage of the opportunity. You strike me with the sjambok many times, but I don't count. I am lost to the world and to myself. My mind is empty except for the pain and trying to remain standing. All the strikes merge together. I'm like a sponge for the pain. I absorb it and I let it fill me. It takes several minutes for me to be aware that the beating has ended. You come up behind me and examine your handiwork. The architecture of my skin is deformed, swollen and bruised, dried blood streaks. "It's over," you say. "Good job." You remove the blindfold, but I am reluctant to open my eyes and rejoin the world. When I finally do, I desperately try to avoid looking at the faces of all the onlookers still gathered around us. I turn and sink to my knees in front of you. I lower my face to the floor and slide forward until I reach your feet. I lift my head to look at you for permission, which you grant with a nod, and I press my lips against each boot, careful not to leave a mark, and then slide back until I'm kneeling in front of you. I have not spoken in so long, I'm not sure I can, but I clear my throat and look up at you and say thank you. You lift an eyebrow, smile, and shrug slightly. You're welcome. Now clean up this mess. You toss the sjambok on the pile of used toys, turn and walk back to your seat. This is our version of aftercare. I once again focus on the tasks of cleaning the toys, returning them to the bag, and wiping down the furniture for someone else to use. The rest of the night passes in a wonderful blur of deep, aching pain, a constant reminder of my submission. And when at the end of the night the cuffs come off, my wrists and ankles feel empty and small, and when the collar comes off, I feel slightly adrift. I get dressed in the dressing room, my clothes itchy and uncomfortable on my bruises, scratches, and stripes. Finally, my least favorite part of the night has come. It is time to leave.